Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Luke. These will be familiar words. And so therefore, the challenge and the invitation is to open our hearts and our minds that we might hear God's word for us today. Luke writes, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God, our Father, we are waiting. We're waiting for the revelation of the soon coming King. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, open our hearts, that we might be comforted, that we might be moved, that in our encounter we might be transformed. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I want to start off this morning with a pretty simple question. Question I suspect you'll have a ready answer for. What is Christmas supposed to feel like? Every so often I get the opportunity to go to some of the local nursing homes and I get an opportunity to lead worship and preach a sermon. And occasionally, when it all lines up just perfectly, those services get to be a little bit of a control group. So this week, knowing what the sermon was, knowing what the topic was, I came and I asked that question. In front of a large group of people at Acura, I asked, "What is Christmas supposed to feel like?" And unlike you, they actually answered me. One of my favorite sisters in Christ in the front row, without hesitation, said, "It's supposed to be happy." She even pointed, just like this. I get how we get there. I mean, to be fair, we tell each other, "Have a Merry Christmas," right? One of the songs goes as far as instructing us to have a holly jolly Christmas. And we even have in our lexicon the villain of Christmas joy, right? We have the Grinch. Don't be the Grinch. I think if we take a peek underneath the surface, for most of us, Christmas has gone through some kind of evolution of feeling in our lives. When we're children, how can you not be overwhelmingly thrilled about the idea of opening presents? There's a season of life where Christmas is the summit of the mountain, and the entire year we look forward to it with excitement and anticipation. One of the great gifts of adulthood is that we get an opportunity to see Christmas through the eyes of children who feel that way about Christmas. But as time goes on and our calendars become more impacted by Christmas, I think many of us see it as a tricky season. Our to-do lists are full of things that need done. Our calendars are overflowing with Christmas-related activities. And we find time for family. And we carve out moments like Silent Night in the Christmas Eve service, and we feel the depth of the Christmas promise. And of course, all of us would like every Christmas to be warm and joyful, happy and merry, to be filled to overflowing with the company of loved ones. But if you've lived life long enough, then you've experienced that inevitable reality that we can't no matter how hard we try, make Christmas feel any particular way. Sooner or later, a Christmas will find us when things are not bright and cheery, when it's not holly or jolly. If Christmas is a season of exceptional joy, in those difficult seasons of life, it can make the pain feel even greater. Christmas is a difficult season for those who are grieving, because in some cases, it's the first season that you've gone through without that person who you love. For others, it's a season of merriment and joy. It's cut down by that bad diagnosis or the really difficult treatments. Christmas is notorious in Alcoholics Anonymous and support groups of all kinds, because this is the time of year when people, we lose our willpower and we're overtaken by our deeper vices. Because even though we celebrate that Christmas is the season of light, that light has a way of exposing some of our deeper and more raw humanity. In the modern era, some churches have tried to address this. They've tried to make space for people going through difficult seasons. And they have started services called Blue Christmas. The idea is there's a separate service and you go to it. And at that, the themes of difficulty and loss and pain and struggle gets blended into the service. I think that it's an interesting idea. I know some pastor friends of mine for whom that service is their favorite service in the entire Christmas season. I suspect that they like it because it gives pastors an opportunity to do something a little more creative than just shepherds and wise men. You can imagine the difficulty of preaching that year over year. But I think that there's also a heartfelt intention to create a place for people with difficult feelings and real life struggles and make a space for their spiritual care in an otherwise pretty demandingly happy season. But I gotta confess to you, I feel like Blue Christmas is a little bit of a cop-out. And this is why. The truth is, we're all living life, and all of us experience throughout the Christmas season things that aren't holly and jolly and happy and merry. And it's worth remembering that if we stray too far, we're tempted to believe that the Christmas story that you have in your Bible, the story of these shepherds, was just all happiness and joy. When in truth, it wasn't. In fact, if we read the story closely, we discover that there was much more than just holly and jolly. Luke tells us that the shepherds were not at home. They're not at a party. They're out in the fields. They're on the night shift. They're keeping watch over their flocks. And I suppose every job is an important job. But let's be honest, there are jobs that we don't want to have. Maybe you don't want to be an overnight security guard. You don't want to be an overnight gas station attendant. I assure you, you don't want to be an overnight shepherd. And here they are, doing the work where the hours stink and the work isn't the most desirable. They're the marginalized, the dirty, they're the outsiders looking in. And yet of all of the people in the world that God could have chosen to reveal the birth of his son that night, he chose the shepherds. Luke tells us that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And you think, that's holly? That's jolly? Merry Christmas! But do you remember the story? They didn't feel a warm glow. They didn't notice a nice star. No, they were terrified. Literally, the text says they feared the greatest fear. The light didn't comfort them at first. It exposed them. Because here's the thing about divine light. Like the shepherds, it shows up where we are. Not necessarily where we want to be, but where we actually are. And the nature of light is that it reveals something about who God is, but it also reveals something about who we are. When the glory of God breaks into the dark field of your life, it doesn't just illuminate the path forward. It exposes our pride, our self-centeredness, the greed we've been hiding in the shadows. We would prefer, of course, our Christmas lights on a string, controlled and contained, warm but not too bright. The shepherds didn't get that option. The light of God's revelation showed all around them. It pierced them. It shined through them. The glory of the Lord crashed into their otherwise ordinary night, and their first response was not praise, it was terror. But the angel, seeing their fear, says, don't be afraid. Not because their fear wasn't real, not because the exposure wasn't uncomfortable for them, but because the light didn't come to burn them. It came to guide them. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. The searchlight became a lighthouse. The X-ray that diagnoses becomes the scalpel that heals. The same light that exposes our brokenness is the very same light that leads us to the manger, to the God who doesn't wait for us to clean ourselves up, to the God who shows up right in the middle of our mess. The sign of Christmas that night wasn't a throne room. God didn't send them to a temple, not even to a nice middle-class home, but to a baby in a feeding trough wrapped in cloths. God in the most vulnerable form possible. God in the place that was least expected. The light that shone around the shepherds exposed how small we are before the greatness of God. But the path that light led them on exposed and revealed God's plan for all of us. This is the exposure. Not that we're weak, but that God meets us in our weakness. Not that we're stuck in the darkness, but that God comes to us in that darkness. Christmas isn't interested in making us healthy and wealthy. Christmas is interested in showing up when we're on the night shift, in the field, in the grief, right in the middle of that sadness, on top of our anxieties and our fears. Christmas is truly amazing because in one swift ray of light, God reveals the darkness of our hearts and the difficulty of our lives and simultaneously reveals his commitment, his promise that he will be with us in that place. Make no mistake about it, God doesn't intend on ever leaving us behind. And that's what I love about verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Returned where? To the fields, to the sheep, to the night shift. They didn't get a promotion. They didn't get a new job. They did not escape their circumstances. But they returned different people. They went from terror to praise, from exposure to joy, from darkness to light. It was the same field. Same sheep, different hearts. So how should Christmas feel? Maybe all of it. Maybe Christmas is big enough to hold terror and joy, exposure and healing, fear and praise. Maybe Christmas meets every single one of us exactly where we are today on the whole continuum of faith. Imagine a rope stretched from here to here. On this side, you might have the shepherds in that dark field, afraid. And on the other, the shepherds who return to that same field, filled with light and joy and praise. If you were going to put a pin on where you are on that continuum today, where would it be? And maybe, regardless of where it is, the promise is God is with you in it. That there is no place in our lives of hope and faith and Christmas, and everything beyond it, in which God has not chosen to be with us. The truth is, we sometimes take God's revelation for granted. So don't be shocked when Christmas confronts you, when the light exposes what you've been hiding, because the glory of Christmas is a light that first exposes us in order to save us. It shows our need so that then it can show us our Savior. It gives us pause and concern when it confronts our sinfulness and our brokenness, and it gives us hope and joy when it meets us in our astonishment. The shepherds went back to their fields, but they went back changed. They had seen the light. They had been terrified by it, yes, but then they had been led by it. They had been transformed by it. And now they couldn't stop praising God. It wasn't because their circumstances changed, but because God showed up in their circumstances. That's Christmas. Not one feeling. All the feelings. Awe and fear, pain and joy, exposure and healing. Christmas is God in flesh. Christmas is God with you, right where you are, in the field, in the dark, in the joy, and even in the fear. And that changes everything. Thanks be to God. Amen.